Hola, in the thick familia. It's Maria Hinojosa.
And it's Julio Ricardo Varela. And we have a palate cleanser special episode for you.
Because we know that you all know all about palate cleansers.
But that's the thing of, like, with all the things in the news, sometimes you need to step back and celebrate a little bit of intelligence and smart conversation. And with this coming Sunday, you know, the Oscars are happening. So we wanted to share this fabulous roundtable episode from our sister podcast, Latina USA, which you host and executive produce, Maria Hinojosa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how Black, Latino, and Latina creators are still being shut out in 2022 and fighting back, maybe?
You know, I've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Because I've been covering this for the entirety of my career.
Yeah.
But this conversation was so smart.
It was.
And just so thoughtful.
Yes.
And I don't want to, I mean, the word groundbreaking, you know, but there were some.
Say it.
You know, there were some moments where you.
Yeah.
Well, you just kind of like go like, okay, I'm going to have to kind of shift my thinking about this in a bigger way.
Well, that was interesting because
yeah.
I feel like I know your style.
Mm-hmm.
I've known you for years as a Latina USA host, but also as a co-host of In the Thick and El Futuro. And I love when you get pleasantly surprised as an interviewer and you were soaking it in. Right? Was that, am I?
No, 100%. Yeah.
And that's why I love this episode so much, right? And that's why I said, we got to share this on In the Thick, because we've talked about this on In the Thick, right?
Yeah, we have. It's complicated because, yes, on paper, 2021 did seem like a very big year for Latino and Latina creators.
Right.
And we just talk about how the fact that, you know, representation is, yes, valuable, but it isn't enough. And we get deep into kind of the specificity of what kind of representation we're seeing, where we need to see more.
Yes.
So I was joined by three incredible Latino and Latina film critics, Clayton Davis, Cristina Escobar, and Jack Rico. And we got into the state of Latino filmmaking and criticism, you know, and the lack of not only roles, but the lack of Latino and Latina film critics.
Yeah.
And what kind of a problem that poses and the kind of tropes that
still exist,
you know, continue to be replayed in our community.
Yeah.
You know, I just, whenever I look at big Hollywood films or big Netflix, something that's going to be nominated.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what would happen if all of this money and this budget and this creative support had been given to tell a story that has nothing to do with, you know, a grape. What is it? There's another one about a winery in Northern California.
Yes.
The Miami one about like narco something. Like our stories are just like, can we just think beyond this?
They're limiting.
They are.
They're limiting, right?
And we want more.
Right. And I just need to shout out Cristina Escobar because she is the dedicated Latino Rebels critic. She's been writing for us for about a year. And I'm so thrilled that she was part of this roundtable because she's wicked smart, as they say up here in Boston.
Wicked smart.
I also love Clayton. I'm a big fan of Clayton's, and I'm also a big fan of Jack's. I've known Jack Rico forever.
So good.
This is what I loved about this conversation when one of the guests said that the real problem is with Hollywood and how you can't nominate what's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what I wrote about when I wrote about for the Washington Post about my,
mm-hmm.
It's a love-hate relationship, but it's more, hate might be too strong of a word, but just distaste for
mm-hmm.
Spielberg's West Side Story when it came out, just how this has become the only Puerto Rican narrative of the last 60 mm-hmm. years. And I'm tired as a Puerto Rican journalist and cultural critic that I have to continue to address that. And I'm not saying that the roles, you know, I'm glad for people that got nominated, especially Latinos and Latinas. But at the same time, these narratives keep getting replayed. And it's really about how we need to continue to push representation and actually create the lanes and not wait for Hollywood, right? And that's why I think that's what Futuro Media believes in. It's like, you know what? Get out of the way. Let's create our own things here.
Right. And the reason why you're like, yes, I mean, West Side Story, the original, if you've read my book, you know it's important, blah, blah, blah.
Right, okay. Right. Read my book.
But what we're saying is that the fact that it has to be remade, I want to see the film about the Puerto Rican activists and the love stories between the people and activists who helped take down a governor because of corruption.
Or also, not to pitch what Marlon Bishop and I did for La Brega or Basketball Warriors about an underdog Puerto Rican basketball team that defeats the Americans and the journey of a young Puerto Rican boy.
Exacto.
Who happened to be me.
Exacto.
Grow with this love of Puerto Rican basketball. Sorry. Hey, agents out there, if you're listening, I got a story for you. for you?
We have stories. We have so many stories. Now, there were some historic Oscar nominations.
Absolutely.
Ariana DeBose, who is openly queer. She's an Afro-Latina actress. She's nominated. She gives an extraordinary performance. She's nominated for Best Supporting Actress for West Side Story.
Right.
And I have been invited to an Oscar party.
Nice. You gonna go?
I've been invited to this Oscar party several years, and I never go because I'm like, nah. I'm thinking I might go.
You should bring Benito.
I don't know about that. Maybe. But I'm thinking I might go because I feel like I just want to celebrate
some joy,
being with people and some joy. And as you know, I do think In the Heights was snubbed. Everybody knows that. But I'm excited to be with other people and see this together. So yeah.
Yeah. And Ariana DeBose was spectacular.
True, true, true.
You know, I saw West Side Story before it came out and I wrote about it in an opinion piece. And I never want to get the impression that Ariana DeBose did not deserve to get that role. Like, she was spectacular. It's historic. But at the same time, think about this, Maria. If Ariana DeBose wins the Oscar, the two Latinas that have won the Oscar.
Imagínate.
Rita Moreno and Ariana DeBose for the same role. So,
you know, it's just like.
So listen, there's a lot to talk about. Maria goes to that Oscar party. I'm sure she will share it on the Insta.
Well, it's all about the popcorn, too.
It's all about the popcorn. So we'll have to wait this weekend to see how the Oscars play out. But for now, like Maria says, go get your popcorn. Listen to this fabulous Latino USA episode that Maria Hinojosa did with these three wonderful critics. So enjoy.
Get the popcorn.
Get your popcorn.
Six roles in 13 years that went to Afro-Latino leads. 53,000 characters in a 13-year period, and less than 5% of Latinos had speaking parts. Like, that ain't even close. So that's what I see as wrong with the awards, is that it's not fun, but also there's no opportunity for us to be there.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, ahead of the Oscars, a look back at a big year for Latinos in Hollywood and what comes next for our film community.
Live from Santa Monica, California, the annual Academy Awards.
It's Hollywood's biggest night.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences 25th Annual Academy
Awards. The 49th Annual
The Academy Awards.
Live from the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles, it's the 68th Annual Academy
this
Awards.
This is the 72nd Annual Academy Awards.
Also known as the Oscars.
Live TV, here we go. Welcome to the 93rd Oscars.
For nearly a century, the Oscars have been considered the most prestigious award in filmmaking, and their influence reaches way beyond the U.S. And yet, not all is golden at the Academy Awards. The Oscars' track record with non-white, non-male, and international filmmakers has been abysmal.
A popular hashtag is calling out the award show for its lack of diversity again.
The Oscars' So White controversy, which became widespread in 2016, encouraged some change and pushed the Academy to diversify its membership.
We want opportunity. We want the Black actors to get the same opportunity.
But the lack of diversity remains, and we're still having the same conversation, essentially. The problem isn't just the Oscars. The awards tend to reflect what's happening in mainstream Hollywood. And that's where Black and Latino and Latina creators are often shut out. 2021, though, seemed a little different. On paper, it was actually a pretty big year for films featuring Latino and Latina characters and talent. Popular musicals like Encanto, West Side Story, and In the Heights come to mind. The first two were nominated for Best Animated Film and Best Picture this year. You also have films like Being the Ricardos, a biopic about Lucille Ball and Cuban-American actor Desi Arnaz, and Nightmare Alley, Guillermo del Toro's latest film, which got a Best Picture nod. But it's worth asking, is this the representation and inclusion of Latinos and Latinas that we were looking for? And after nearly a century's worth of exclusion from the biggest awards in the industry, is this enough? So on today's show, we're going to talk about, yes, the Oscars, but also the state of Latino filmmaking and film criticism. Three Latino and Latina film critics join us for the kind of conversation you're not going to hear in mainstream media ahead of the Oscars. So go grab your popcorn, or in my case, palomitas, and here we go. So Clayton, Cristina, and Jack, welcome to Latino USA.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So let's just go ahead and have you each introduce yourselves with a little quick one-liner of who you are.
I'm Clayton Davis. I'm the film awards editor at Variety.
Hola, I'm Cristina Escobar. I am a freelance journalist and the co-founder of LatinaMedia.co.
And I am Jack Rico. I am a film and culture critic for the last 20 years.
Okay, so the Oscars are coming up on March 27th, and there's been a lot of news about what the show is actually going to be like. So you have a host, actually three actresses, Amy Schumer, Regina Hall, and Wanda Sykes. And the ceremony is doing a new thing and recognizing a fan favorite film this year. So anyone can cast a vote for their favorite film of 2021. But I'd like to hear your take on the nominations, especially the Latinos and Latinas and non-white folks who are up for awards. So Clayton, who should I be looking out for in this year's awards?
This year, you know, we have Ariana DeBose that's carrying the torch, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is one step closer to EGOT status because he's nominated for Best Original Song. Dos oruguitas enamoradas. And we had our first Latina ever nominated for Best Original Score, Jermaine Franco. So things are looking up, but I am one that always says that Oscars are used as a scapegoat because the real problem is Hollywood. They can't nominate what's not there. So we continue to move forward, but it was a better than usual day in Latino world at the Oscars.
I love that. You can't nominate what doesn't exist. Cristina, what's your quick take on the nominations?
I mean, I think we're all going to root for Ariana DeBose. She is indeed the one.
Oye, Javi, ponle fuego, vamos!
But I would also say, you know, we had some great films this year. We had some amazing outputs. You know, we don't see anything for In the Heights. I don't see anything for Passing, which starred a Latina, Afro-Latina, and Tessa Thompson. And so I feel like we are making inroads, but it's slower in the quote-unquote prestige space, you know, the award space, than I think it is in other places. And it's slower in film than it is in television. And that's still on the frustrating side.
Jack, are you frustrated or are you like, what's your take?
I actually feel that this year in particular, we've actually made some progress per what everybody else was saying in terms of you can't really award something that doesn't exist. Well, this year we actually had a lot of films that should have been nominated. And I think when you look at the director's category in particular, Lin-Manuel Miranda, I thought he did an incredible job with Tick, Tick, Boom for his directorial debut. Reynaldo Marcus Green, who did King Richard, nominated for Best Picture. He wasn't nominated for director. Guillermo del Toro, Nightmare Alley, Best Picture, not nominated for director. You have Spencer with Kristen Stewart, who was nominated for Best Actress, but Pablo Larraín was not nominated. Janissa Bravo for Zola. So there was enough there to actually nominate, along with supporting actors, etc. Yet none of these people were nominated. And so the question to me is, what do we have to do to get into these categories where we're usually not, even though we put out great films? If this isn't a good banner year for directors, for Latino directors, then what other years are we going to have where we submit so many great films and that they're not nominated?
There was some controversy shortly after the nominations were announced. Remember that Javier Bardem press conference? Awkward?
Bueno, si hablamos de minorías, hablemos de las minorías españolas. ¿Cuántos personajes españoles hay en el cine internacional? Ninguno.
So some context, he was nominated for Best Actor for his role in Being the Ricardos, where he played Desi Arnaz, the famous Cuban-American actor. The thing is, Javier, who is an actor from Spain, chose to speak out about the lack of Spanish, as in Spain, representation in film. He said that Spaniards are actually a minority in Hollywood and that Latin Americans are represented just fine, but that he doesn't see Spanish roles anywhere. Cristina, did this hit a nerve for you? Were you just, okay?
Yeah, I was definitely. I think that is the wrong approach for him to take and for Spanish folks to take as well. I mean, there's a little thing called colonialism. It operates a lot of our world and controls it. You know, the Spanish colonized a whole continent, and we're still dealing with the impacts of that. And you see that to this day. Now, I'm not one who thinks that only Chicanos can play Mexican Americans on screen. I don't think you see Anglos saying, oh, you're from Australia, you can't play an American. I think that is a little bit silly, that there should be some flexibility, but there is a big, big difference being from Europe and being a white person versus being from Latin America and the experience you get in the United States in particular, right? It might be different actually in Latin America, but when you come to the US, being a Latino is different than being from Spain. And there is a different expectation and there are frankly different opportunities. And so to sort of see him taking up that space and then doubling down on it, to me, showed a lack of sort of self-awareness and also is frustrating for our community that's just like trying so hard to get in the door, to get some of the roles, to tell our own stories.
What were your thoughts, Jack?
I think when he uses the word minority, I think what he really kind of meant to say was omission. When you look at the last, I don't know, 10 years of Javier Bardem's career, he's a Spaniard from Europe who comes to the United States and is immediately labeled a Latino. And white media has him like that. And I think that his frustration is, why aren't we seeing more Spaniard roles in Hollywood? Every time I go to Hollywood, I'm playing a Latino, whether it's Pablo Escobar or Desi Arnaz. It's, why can't I play a Spaniard? But in America, Spaniards sort of become Latinos and they're viewed like that. And I think his frustration is, why are we omitted? But I think the word minority and the way he framed the whole thing, I think was a misstep on his part and a rare misstep because he's usually very articulate, but I think he bombed on this one.
What are your thoughts on that, Clayton?
Javier Bardem, three of his four Oscar-nominated roles were playing Latinos.
Here's Desi Arnaz!
Before Night Falls, he played a Cuban. You know, No Country for Old Men, he's playing a Mexican, and he's playing a Cuban again and being the Ricardos.
Thank you very much. Usually right now I'd be doing the final audience warm-up. I tell you an old joke about a turtle.
And I point out... And yet, there have been four Latinos that have been nominated for Best Actor in history. 94 years, four of them. And we could add a fifth this year if a Latino actually got that role of playing Desi Arnaz. Like many people, when it was announced that West Side Story was coming out, my first question was like, why are we doing this again? And if it's for the sole reason of getting Ariana DeBose and Rachel Zegler in our lives, then I'll take it. But the truth is that, knock on wood, when Ariana DeBose wins the Oscar, she's going to be the second Latina to ever win an acting Oscar. The second. And the first was Rita Moreno playing the same role. So we are not seeing the progress in this space. And to say that there are roles for Latinos, sure, they're usually gang members and janitors.
All right, Jack, can you just chime in? And you too, Cristina. What makes a film a Latino or Latina film? Obviously, all we do on this program is talk about the complexity of this community. So on the issue of film, what is it? Because it does begin to feel a little boxed in.
Things are so complicated and weird now in terms of the regulations and the policies in the Academy. For example, Memoriam, Tilda Swinton was in it, but it took place in Colombia. Was that a Colombian film? Was that a European film? So I think that the basic fundamental of what a Latino movie is if it has a Latino-themed story with Latino actors. Does the director, like for example, John Chu in The Heights, does he need to be Latino for that film to be a Latino movie? For the most part, most journalists, most Latin critics, when they look at a movie like In the Heights, we call that a Latino film. When you talk about West Side Story, to me, as a Latino critic, I see that as a Latino film because the majority of the emphasis and the focus was on the Puerto Ricans in this particular film. So I would call that a Latino film.
Get your shoes on.
I want to dance.
I'll just be straight up. I mean, Steven Spielberg, he's directed obviously phenomenal films, but there was a part of me that was like, okay, why Steven though? Is your sense that then West Side Story is a Latino film or not?
I think that one's tricky. I think we have to take it as one of ours because of the amazing performances that the Latinas and Latinos put in on that film. And we have to celebrate them and shout them out and scream from the rooftops about how great they did, because we don't want to be only able to work with Latino creatives. But we also need to say really clearly that it is not enough, that West Side Story is very limited. It's very limited in its portrayal of our community. It's limited. They did the best that some white guys can do, but they couldn't bridge the gap and make it meaningful and advance, I think, the representation of our community outside of giving the platform over to some amazing actors. So is it a Latino film? I guess so, but it's not the ones that we're looking for, right? We want to be the ones who are behind the camera, who are writing the stories, who are directing, and who are really shaping it from start to finish, not sort of rehashing old pieces and being subsumed into this larger Anglo narrative that sees us in these very limited ways as violent or maybe sex objects.
Coming up on Latino USA, we continue to break down the past year in Latino movies. And we ask the big question, do the Oscars really even matter? Stay with us. No te vayas.
From Futuro Media and PRX, Latino Rebels Radio is an award-winning OG Latino podcast covering stories of the Latino experience that matter in the United States, the Caribbean, Central America, South America, and even parts of the universe. Lo que sea. Created for, about, and by Latinos, join us every Thursday by subscribing to Latino Rebels Radio wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. I've been talking with film critics and journalists Clayton Davis, Jack Rico, and Cristina Escobar about the Oscars and Latino films that came out last year. We're going to keep that conversation going now and talk about how we build the future of Latino filmmaking. One of the things that we have seen this year is that a lot of the Latino-Latina films are big musicals. Oftentimes they're about family. We're getting young kids who are speaking Spanglish and, you know, Abuelita, for example, in Encanto, featuring a Colombian family, voiced by Latinx actors, nominated for Best Animated Feature. Encanto was a big commercial hit. The song We Don't Talk About Bruno topped the Billboard chart for weeks and has become more popular than Let It Go from Frozen. All right. So there is Latinx representation on screen, right? But at the same time, is this what we really want? And so I'm wondering what the quote-unquote right kind of representation is. Do you think that something's missing here? And by the way, I love these films, but there is an element still of cliche. And I'm wondering if you feel the same way, Jack.
Absolutely. I think what we need now is we need to start developing talent more, Latinx talent, writers, directors, producers, people who are on the pulse of what's happening in the United States with the Latino community. For example, I've been waiting for the Roberto Clemente biopic for decades already. Why hasn't that been done?
Because Javier Bardem isn't available.
Touche.
Yeah, he'll play the Puerto Rican, the Cubans, the Puerto Ricans. He'll play everybody. It just needs to come to a point that we need to start telling authentic stories about our own lives within the United States, within Latin America, and the relationship that we have with the world. What our frustrations, our struggles, our joys, our celebrations. These stories need to be told, but there seems to be a challenge with the gatekeepers that we're not hot enough. We don't have enough superstars to package deals. I don't even know if we still have a legitimate A-list actor a la Tom Cruise that is Latino. And that's the problem. And unless we get to these places, to this hierarchy, to this tier, we're going to maintain sort of the status quo of what we have right now.
I agree. The talent is out there, but it's like getting through the door. So there's a frustration on that element too, right?
Yeah, it's getting through the door, but there is also, again, the Hollywood idea of what a Latino or Latinx person is. For women especially, like unless you're Jennifer Lopez or Sofia Vergara, like that's Latinas to Hollywood only. And I remember having this argument with someone during Roma about Yalitza Aparicio. And I was like, I've seen her more in my life than I've seen J-Lo's. And you're trying to generalize 500 million people. And you can't do that. So again, you have to expand your way of thinking. And then also, and I'll put this out there, Latinos have to write their own house too, because I'll never be able to have an articulate conversation really on social media when I bring up something like Latinos are not seen. And then I look at the thread and there's like 500 comments about Latinx. And that's what they're arguing about like, why are you calling us Latinx? And I'm like, we're not on TV or movies, but you want to argue about this Latinx term, like die on that hill. And we have a colorism problem. We have a lot of issues within our own community that we have to address also. And that's why there's not being progress, because if I was a white producer, I would look and say, oh, they're arguing over there. I'll keep just doing my thing while they keep arguing over a letter in the alphabet. So that's what's going to keep happening.
So Cristina, your whole life is basically dedicated to advancing this conversation. So how do we advance the conversation beyond representation? Because I've been having this conversation for years, right? How do you think about advancing this conversation critically in a more profound way that goes beyond this quote unquote representation?
Well, we have to work on multiple levels, right? Hollywood is a complex system in and of itself, and it's an even more complex ecosystem when you think about the studios and the distribution and the critical analysis and all of that piece. So we need to work on building in front of, behind the camera, as cultural gatekeepers, all of that stuff. And part of what we need to do as Latinos and Latinxes and our community, per Clayton's point, I couldn't agree with it more, is organize our own house so that we can see each other and be excited about each other and recognize a unity in ourselves to say we are not perfect. We are not equal. We have problems, yes, but we are going to see that there is a strength in being together in a group. There's a political strength in it. There's a market share strength in it. And we're going to use that to get what we want. But that's not going to work if we're saying, oh, actually, Black folks aren't part of our community. There are no Black Mexicans. There are no Asian Latinos. We don't really have queer people. Like, none of that will help us. That will just further divide us. So we need to figure out how to address some of those issues. And then we also need to build our own houses. Like, if we're sitting there waiting for Hollywood to call on us or whatever industry, that's never going to happen. So we need to be building our own institutions and our own pathways and using those to build up ourselves while also pushing on the power structures that exist to push for change.
All right, we're going to turn the cameras now on to you and talk about your field. And, you know, people love to hate film critics, but I'd like to dig into your roles and really understand, why is it important for us to have critics who are Latinx, who are Afro-Latino, who are Black? And how can you use the platforms that you work on to advance the conversation about inclusion in Hollywood? And let's start with you, Clayton.
It's all around representation in entertainment. A film like In the Heights, in particular. You know, In the Heights wasn't my favorite film of the year, but I cried during the whole thing because it was my first time coming back to a movie theater. And I was there watching a piece of me on screen that I don't get to see very often. But I looked around and there were very little journalists that looked like me that shared that same space. It was critically acclaimed. It did so well critically. But I remember reading through so many of the reviews, and it was just, there were a lot of, like, I want to say basic takes, but I was waiting to read the part where Abuela has, like, ropa vieja boiling, like, on her stove. I was waiting to see eating rice and beans at the table, just these little nuances that are us. There's so few Christina Escobars and Jack Ricos in the world. There is just us. So we have to have each other's backs, or who else is going to? And that's the next big thing that needs to change.
You know, Jack Clayton just brought up In the Heights. Of course, as you know, I'm a little partial because I had a role in the Heights. And I do feel like In the Heights was entirely snubbed, shut out, even though there was legit criticism. But I do feel like, as you said, Clayton, there were people crying throughout the entire film. And I'm wondering, Jack, vis-a-vis the conversation of Latino and Latina film critics, how you see how that played out. I love that there's a sense of community, but there's also a tremendous amount of pressure on you.
Well, the first thing is, actually, Clayton created the Latino Entertainment Journalists Association, which is probably
all right,
the
Clayton.
Only...
All right, I love that.
Latino film critics organization where Latino film critics can go. But, you know, part of the problems is we're not all working for the New York Times or the Washington Post. We're independent. And so scale is a massive problem with Latino Latinx film critics. We don't have the mass audience to be able to talk about a Latino film and have that go viral or national or be shared by the elite, by the influencers who actually change rules and laws depending on what we say. I think the other second challenge about Latino critics is that sometimes we just don't want to criticize our films because we're barely getting any promotion. And if you have Latino critics bash a couple of Latino films that are key, for example, like even In the Heights or West Side Story, then the support for that then dies because an executive in Hollywood says, see, even Latino critics are bashing their own movies.
Which, by the way, is the most racist thing. This is the thing that drives me nuts all the time. When I get pitches and they're like, but you're Latino. And like, it's literally the argument. Like, we don't have to like just one thing. You know, we like other things. And we also need to stop putting all the weight of our culture on Lin-Manuel Miranda's shoulders to represent for everyone. I thought he gave the best response to In the Heights, the colorism debate, where he was like, listen, I will try better next time. I can't expect him to get all of us in one go. There's like, again, 500 million of us. Like, come on.
Yeah. Christina.
Well, I would add that. So we at Latina Media Co., we do a lot of work on helping Latinas in particular, because women are even more underrepresented, speak out and share their voice. And that feels amazing. And I love doing that. But I also want to say the whole industry is a mess. And the folks that I look at who've made it, who are editors at big publications or who get great jobs, then they're one layoff away. I've seen them rise up, do amazing stuff for years, get acclaim, and then they get laid off. There's a part of me that feels like, am I encouraging Latinas to go into an industry that is not going to respect them, that's not going to value them, that's going to be the first to lay them off, no matter how good they do, no matter what audience they build? And that is a problem that is in many ways bigger than us, but we need to build different systems because this one isn't working. It's not working for Latinos, but it's not working in general in terms of getting meaningful, strong criticism out there and elevated from a variety of different voices.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, especially when you think about the kinds of stories that exist in our communities across the board. You know, Latinos and Latinas, we consume what, one out of every four movie tickets? Oh my God, when movie tickets were sold. But you know, we're a quarter of the movie going audience. And we're getting older. And that means that there's another generation of younger people who are developing their own desires and tastes vis-a-vis Hollywood and film. So I was speaking with another young Latina and she was like, you know, it's an Aaron Sorkin film. I'm not going to go see that. Or look, Steven Spielberg, great, but West Side Story, I'm not so sure. So it feels like there's this tension where you have a generation of younger Latinos and Latinas. They're not actually watching what the Oscars are doing. they're kind of losing interest. Clayton, let's start with you. What does that mean for the future of Hollywood if Latinos are essentially like, you're not valuable and I'm not turning to you to give me the props that I need?
So the Oscars not being watched is, I think it's more complex, maybe not even complex. I would say even more simplistic than Latinos not seeing themselves there, which is a part of it, but it also is the Oscars and all award shows needing to revamp the way awards are delivered. Last year was a prime example, was a very bad ceremony, devoid of fun or film clips. So if you're going to celebrate film, truly celebrate film. And I think when you add in the parts of Latinos not being there as well, or just people of color in general, then it only further pushes that narrative. John Leguizamo said this best. I interviewed him one time. He said, I'm not even asking for more. I'm asking for what's mine. So if we're 25% of the buying power in America, then 25% of the movies need to have us in it. And then if we're not there, then I could be like, we just didn't make it. But we're not.
It feels like when Latinos and Latinas kind of raise their hands and are kind of saying the things, we come with the data, the response is often, can you all just relax? What's the matter with you? You feel that, Christina?
I do. I think that the Oscars, the award shows, they do make a difference in terms of they still shape what Hollywood makes, what Hollywood considers quote unquote good. And so there is still a significance to them. Listen, it's not cheap to make a movie, certainly not one like West Side Story, or to make a TV show. They're expensive. And Hollywood is a business. And I think we've proven many a time over that we can make money, but it's not so much to me about that as it is about we just need so much more, right? We need so many more depictions, so many more options, per Clayton's point, if we want to win these awards. And I think we do want to win them. I think it's worth hollering about and advocating for, but it's certainly also not the only thing that we should be working on in Hollywood or entertainment or representation either. The awards are a part of the ecosystem, but it's not the only part. And they're not even the only part of criticism. You look at who are critics, and they're still overwhelmingly white and male. And that sets a limited view for what is considered good that isn't reflective of the viewing populace or the world. And it also leads, I would say, to more boring art. You just sort of see the same stuff over and over again. And instead of seeing the whole sort of breadth and depth and beauty of the world and all the different perspectives, including Latinos, obviously.
Right. So if not the Oscars, where do we turn for excellence in Latinos and Latinas? We want to be celebrated. We want to have those award statements next to our big billboards. If not the Oscars, then to where? Take us out, Clayton.
The thing is, that's why we need the Oscars. They're like, whether we like it or not, they are the pinnacle of what is deemed success in this business. And I'm saying that like it should be that way, but they do offer something to strive for in this business. And why I believe the Oscars are important, I never want to see them go away, is because they have always provided a relevant cultural snapshot of a cinematic year. There is no reason for me to ever know the movie How Green Was My Valley, other than it's the film that beat Citizen Kane at the Oscars. But also they reflect the mindset of the country at a time. How Green Was My Valley beat Citizen Kane because Pearl Harbor was bombed like 2 months before the Oscars and everyone got into a real pro-America mood. Those are things that we're able to learn and reflect on. And if you don't have the Oscars to kind of do that in that cinematic form, that's how films get lost. That's how we don't discover cinema over the years. That's why Parasite now lives in the eons, or Roma again lives in our soul, because it was nearly there, but it just missed. And there's an argument that like Moonlight wins Best Picture because Trump won the presidency and it was a way to give the middle finger. You know, those are the things that we need and will always need. And I never want to lose that.
Jack, where do we turn if not the Oscars?
Well, Latino USA will probably have a movie review podcast where starring all Latino critics.
I love that. There you go.
But I think I agree with Clayton, because The thing about the Oscars, from its inception, it was always meant to promote movies after they leave the theaters to give it a new run to make money and revenue off of it. And it's always been a promotional platform. And what we use the Oscars for, it still is a cultural shaper of society. People get to be stars if they're nominated. What happened to Yalitza Aparicio is one of the most phenomenal things of this decade because she's indigenous. And we never really had an actress like that. And that was because of the Oscars. So it still manages to reach a global audience and to change careers and to give Latino films that have not before been discovered a platform for them to be discovered and change the lives of those creators and the viewer as well, to kind of know that, oh my God, I missed this movie. This movie changed my life. And maybe that was because of the Oscars.
But Yalitza, we still haven't seen a second movie from her.
Ah, there you go, right?
You know, like...
like she's on the cover of Vogue, but...
she's working on one.
Yeah.
No, listen, it's not enough. It's not enough. The power is shifting. And as much as I, too, have loved the Oscars, I think it would be okay if there were some other places. They don't exist yet, I don't think. And I think there is a power in them being broad and multicultural. Like, I think there is certainly a place for Latinos, and the Latino Entertainment Journalists Association has their own awards. So you can check those out. But I feel like as much as movies have been highlighted as this sort of pinnacle of American art, there's other stuff now, right? Like TV has a lot of really great stuff and maybe a less elitist of an infrastructure around criticism. There's like web videos. There's all sorts of other types of art that are coming out. And as much as I love the movies and I love the Oscars, maybe it's okay that it doesn't have the same cultural cachet and that my kids are not going to care about it and that they will instead be looking at like the Netflix top 10 lists or whatever, that there'll be other ways of measuring things. I don't see that as a sadness or a loss, but rather as an evolution and an opportunity. Like, I think it would be okay for it not to be the cultural juggernaut it has been, but I'll still be watching too.
Well, hey, I'm happy. I'm feeling a lot better about the whole situation after speaking with the three of you. Before we wrap up, just a quick question. Is there something, some person, a film, an actor, director, editor, Latino, Latina, that you just want to celebrate, that you just want to give a shout out, that maybe was or was not in the Oscars this year? And we'll start with you, Clayton.
Yeah, I made a whole list about it right before voting started because I was trying to make sure everyone knew about them. David Alvarez in West Side Story, Clifton Collins Jr. in Jockey.
But I still got a good couple years left in me.
Robin De Jesus in Tick, Tick, Boom was incredible. Benicio Del Toro was great in The French Dispatch.
Feelings in my heart.
I don't love you.
What?
Coleman Domingo in Zola.
Respect.
So I can go home now?
Nah. I'm gonna need you to do what you did last night.
Oh my God, there was just like a lot this year. And I always say there's people we don't know that are Latino that are making strides. Like Phil Lord from Mitchell's and the Machines is Cuban. Like, we had to celebrate him. That's like super dope. Oh, shout out Charisse Castro-Smith, who's a co-director of Encanto, but based on rules of the Academy, co-directors cannot be nominated, only directors. So she doesn't have an Oscar nomination, but she wrote Encanto, and we feel that in every frame of that.
All right, Jack, Latinos and Latinas, you want to celebrate?
Yes, Maria Hinojosa for In the Heights, Best Supporting Actress.
thank you.
He needs a shout out. I think a few other ones that whose performance I really enjoyed this year was Oscar Isaac in The Car Counter.
I was an American kid. Confinement of any kind was terrifying to me.
I think that few people have seen that performance, and it's one of his best performances. I love Eugenio Derbez in Coda.
Remember the little dog, big dog exercise? Okay, little dog. Do it! Come on!
I thought he was fantastic. He was the fire of that film. And Olga Meredith in The Heights.
Ay, Dios. Try my mother's old recipe. One can of condensed milk.
There was a campaign for her from the very get-go that went sideways. I think these are key people who should have been nominated, who should have been considered, who should still be a part of the Oscar talk and buzz. And hopefully we'll see more of them, you know, in the next couple of years.
Love that. Cristina.
I would certainly echo Charisse Castro-Smith. She is the Latinx representation on the top billing creative team of Encanto. So it feels very silly that she wasn't nominated. And I would also say, you know, you think of Tessa Thompson in Passing.
It's just plain exoticism. An interest in what's different. Kind of emotional excitement.
I thought that was one of the most interesting, innovative films I watched this year, and it just completely got overlooked. And I can't help but think that has to do with race and gender and how deep its thoughts were on those issues, and maybe over some folks' heads, to put it gently. And so not to see her in that film nominated just feels like we are making great art, but it is maybe not understood by the people who are making all of the decisions. And that's where we need to keep pushing on.
So Cristina, Jack, Clayton, thank you so much for having this great conversation with me on Latino USA.
Gracias.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Alejandra Salazar and edited by Marta Martinez and mixed by Leah Shaw Dameron. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., Patricia Zulbarán, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Julio Ricardo Varela. Our director of engineering is Stephanie LeBeau. Our senior engineer is Julia Caruso. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our fellows are Elisa Baena, Monica Morales, and Andrew Viñales. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, I'll see you on all of our social media. Acuérdate, no te vayas. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
I saw you all on the Zoom and y'all are looking adorable. I have a 9-week-old puppy, so I'm not looking so cute right now. Yeah, nobody told me that it's like when you have a newborn, you don't sleep. I knew about the hard part during the day. I was like, oh, hard work during the day. But nobody said, yeah, you don't sleep at night.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.